People First Radio is a program about people, the society in which we live, and issues related to health and wellness.
Welcome to People First Radio. I'm Joe Pugh. A new documentary explores grief and homelessness in Kelowna. No Fixed Address, the White Cart Memorial, tells the story of a grassroots, mobile tribute to members of the unhoused community who lost their lives. That tribute is the titular White Cart. The documentary features firsthand accounts from people sharing their experiences of grief while living in precarious housing situations, and the difficulty mourning in public while dealing with the challenges that accompany homelessness. The filmmakers will be bringing the doc to Vancouver Island with a free screening at Nanaimo's Vancouver Island Conference Center on October 22nd. It will be followed by a discussion with those filmmakers. I spoke with Stephanie Lang and Joshua Black, who co-directed and co-produced No Fixed Address, The White Cart Memorial.
My name is Stephanie Lang. I'm a PhD candidate and the Director of Operations for the Kelowna Homelessness Research Center. We're a research center based out of UBC Okanagan, and our work is really focused on the provision of support and knowledge around what is happening in the world of homelessness, really elevating the voices of those with living and lived experience, and ensuring that our research is applicable and useful in a real life context. And so I'm excited to be here today.
And for myself, my name is Dr. Joshua Black, and I got my PhD in psychology, and I really focused on bereavement and in underserved populations. And so my work here at the BC Center for Palliative Care, I'm the Bereavement Initiative Manager. And so I'm just really happy to be able to be here today and talk about some of the work that we've been doing when it comes to bereavement in other communities of those who are unhoused.
Maybe a good place to start this conversation is with this idea you talked about in the documentary, this idea of disenfranchised grief. Can you tell me what that means?
Yeah, so it's basically when individuals are just basically not recognized within society as grieving. And so this can be people who are unhoused, as we sort of talked about in the film, but it can also be other losses too. So if, let's say, your ex partner dies, or maybe pet loss, or sometimes children, people with disabilities, they can all can be all unrecognized within our communities. And one way to recognize or understand that is look at the services around you and sort of see, do they have special programs for individuals like that? And you'll sort of see a lot of the grief supports that we do have is for widowers. There's a little bit more for teens now. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of us that are still on being unrecognized. But what we really found within our research is that people who are unhoused really have the hardest time because they have so much other traumas, and they can't have a lot of other things that people who are housed have, which is like memorials, which is what we talk about in the film and the importance of the White Cart.
Stephanie, could you maybe tell me how you set about creating this project, where the idea came from, how you got down to brass tacks and started doing it?
Absolutely. So the project itself came from work that the BC Center for Palliative Care and the Kelowna Homelessness Research Center undertook to really understand bereavement in the context of homelessness. We found that it was a very underserved area, and also, you know, there was not a lot of knowledge available. What we also found when we were doing our research is we were doing interviews with individuals in Kelowna and the downtown east side. And throughout our work, we partnered with the Lived Experience Circle on Homelessness in Kelowna, which is a group of individuals with living and lived experience that had been around since around 2018 when the Journey Home strategy started in Kelowna. And it was actually their idea. They had had an idea for years that they wanted to be able to have a white cart as a memorial piece to honor the lives of those that had died unhoused. And our research center has often partnered with LECO, the Lived Experience Circle on Homelessness. And when we were doing this work, we wanted to create an opportunity to really honor the lives of those that had been lost in Kelowna, but also those that were still grieving the bereaved. And it really became this beautiful opportunity to support an idea that Liko had, and really see that come to fruition to create the White Cart Memorial. And so we hosted a closing ceremony, and created the memorial cart as an art piece that has been living out and about in the world in Kelowna for just over 2 years now.
And could you explain for folks what is the white cart?
For sure. So it is a shopping cart that has been painted white, and the NFA is affixed to the front of it, which stands for No Fixed Address. And the cart itself also had the tags. We, at the closing ceremony, had individuals write the names of those that had died, and affix them to the cart. And so it was really this beautiful memorial piece that has all of these names on it. And we had left more tags and markers and pieces, but it also started to grow organically. So folks would leave trinkets and mementos of their own. People would leave flowers or offerings. So it really became this beautiful site where folks could take a moment to grieve by utilizing the cart.
In the documentary, there are multiple people who talk about having folks die in their presence. What are some of the supports that could help anyone in a circumstance like that?
Well, I think first and foremost is to be recognized as a griever. I think people just need to be first heard and listened to. And that's the thing that we're really trying to get across is that we don't need to sort of develop these huge programs at this moment. People just need the basics, and that's be able to be seen as someone who's grieving, and that these losses that are so common within their communities and the people that they care about happen so frequently. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. So like the toxic drug crisis is a main one. You also have living in like really environments, and then you also have like suicide murders and just the body shutting down from the amount of stress that's going on and health issues. And so there's just so much loss and trauma that are being stacked on top of each other. And so it's very difficult for them to be able to process this in a place where there's so much going on and they're still trying to survive each and every day. Where when we're housed or we're working, we have finances, we can take a break and we can actually sit down with our grief, let it come out and not feel like there's someone that may use it against us, or we can just go get Uber Eats and they can deliver the food for us. That's not the case when it comes to people who are unhoused. And so they, like at the same, there's not a lot of time to be able to let that go. And so what people have been talking about is just having, an event one day a year to be able to acknowledge some of their grief as basically a collective grieving style. So to be able to honor it all together and to have more people trained, like support workers that come to them that, have been trained in grief and bereavement, and so feel confident enough to be able to bring up the topic. Because that was one of the things that we found doing our research was that a lot of people felt that just talking about it was very helpful to them. And that's just the crazy part of it. Is if we're doing research, we weren't, like at the, it's beautiful that we helped them, but that's how simple it is to be able to just be a space for people to just be freely able to discuss their loss and not feel judged about it or feel that they're vulnerable when sharing that. And so I think that's where the start is. It's like, can we provide, moments where they can have memorials that don't get destroyed or lost or whatever within their communities, so a place they can go to grieve. And then also, can we have people that are already going to them be better trained in providing safer spaces for them to be able to share about their losses? And then hopefully, two more organizations can partner together to then build maybe more programming for them that doesn't have to be talk therapy, but other things that they can serve do to be able to work through some of that energy and some of that grief emotion, anger being one of them. And so we've heard a lot because we asked in our research about like, what do you want moving forward? And a lot of it was like land-based activities or walking groups or crafts or working out, things that get the body moving and in a community where people are also acknowledging the grief. And it doesn't just have to be talk therapy. And I think that's one of the misconceptions that you need to be able to talk about it to process it. And I don't think that's the case. I think it can be helpful for some, But for many others, it may be too overwhelming. So we want to do other things to be able to acknowledge the grief, but also be able to work with it in a different way, that energy and that grief.
Now, you were doing this research and talking to folks, and the story unfolded in Kelowna. Is there anything you think it's important for people to know about where you were doing this work?
Yeah, in Kelowna, when we were engaging in our research, we were very lucky to be partnered with Kelowna Friendship Society in order to conduct our interviews. A lot of the work that KHRC, Kelowna Homelessness Research Center, does is very community-based and community-driven work. And so the partnerships and relationships that we have with partners is of the utmost importance to us in order to offer safer spaces to individuals to connect with us. And so in Kelowna specifically, interviews took place at, as I mentioned, Kelowna Friendship Society. And our interviews in the downtown east side took place at the Carnegie Center. And so again, the relationships that we're able to develop among our research team with community partners that see the value in the work that we're doing, offer to make those connections, to provide those spaces and support, really allow for us to then give that knowledge back to the community, whether it be service providers or individuals that are living unhoused and accessing services. It really kind of brings it to a full circle moment.
On that front, how do you approach the task of doing this research, of talking to people about these really traumatic experiences that they're still living?
Yeah, so I think it's really being trauma informed in the process and having the right team around you to provide safe spaces where they feel that their grief will not be judged and their experiences will be helpful, not harmful, to them. Because, in life, I think many of us have told stories to other people that have just not been heard. They've been discounted in some way, and that's very harmful to our grief and our vulnerability. And so we really want to make sure that we're all sort of trained to be able to provide that kind of space and to honor whatever came out. And so within our development of it, we partnered with, I think, the right spaces to be able to be where they were. We weren't asking them to come to us in that way. And then when we picked the people to do the interviews, we had an individual with lived experience, and she was also Indigenous, which was very helpful because there is such a disproportionate population of people who are Indigenous. And just in general, I think that's very helpful to provide a safer space for them to trust the spaces that they're going to be sharing their grief in. And then also we had a grief therapist there to also provide any kind of guidance needed if things were if something came up, to be able to provide her professional experience and skill set in. And I think that, and then we had lots of food and treats for them because it's very hard to talk about grief when you're hungry. So that was that portion of that, and they could take stuff as they move forward, and they also got an honorarium to be able to share. And I think what was, I think, surprising for me, being the first time like doing something like this, was the amount of people that wanted to share. And starting the project, one of the concerns that people had shared with me was that it'd be very hard to find people who would want to open up those cans of worms in a way where they maybe haven't shared this aspect of loss in 10 years or something, or 5 years, or it could have been yesterday. And so we didn't really know like what kind of response we would get, but we had so many people wanting to share and to tell their story, and word got out to the communities that it was a safe space to share. And it was very beautiful to sort of see some of that come out and to see some of the I would say the change in people having us just a safe space to share. And like we can take that for granted, a lot of times. And that allowed me to sort of see just how important it is to provide these safe spaces. I remember one of the interviewers sharing how, and one person actually decided not to use substance because they really wanted to be a part of the study and share their story. And so they intentionally didn't use to be able to be a part of the study. And they felt so much relief to be able to share something that was so meaningful to them. And I think that's like the important thing. I think it's important to be understand that you're not going to be able to fix their grief, but we can all provide opportunities for people to be heard. And I think that's the main story of all of it, is like for them to be seen and heard within their grief. And That's more than enough for someone as they continue to process their grief on their own. Like, all of our grief is ours to process, but if we can have these safe spaces, it can really help us in our transitioning within our grief as we move forward in this world.
This is People First Radio. I'm speaking with Stephanie Lang and Joshua Black. The pair are co-producers and directors of the documentary No Fixed Address, The White Cart Memorial. It explores the subject of grief among people experiencing homelessness and tells the story of a tribute to unhoused community members in Kelowna who have lost their lives. Here is a portion of the trailer for the documentary.
Right now, people are dying at a rate that's just unimaginable.
Most of us, they don't get nothing. No gathering, no nothing. That's just another person dead. That's just it.
I don't have anybody support my grief. I'm alone.
And so we thought, well, why don't we do something to commemorate our people, at-risk folks who have lost their lives on the street, who push carts everywhere.
We painted the cart white. We put a no fixed address sign on it to represent that it was for people who were homeless.
It meant so much that it was their way of saying goodbye and it was their way of honoring them.
I was like, I loved it though.
Now back to my conversation with Stephanie Lang and Joshua Black about grief, homelessness, and their documentary, No Fixed Address, The White Cart Memorial. Now, I understand the idea of the white cart was taken from other similar memorials people may have seen around their communities, things like a white bicycle in the past. Could you tell me a little bit more about that idea?
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the really beautiful aspects of the film is that one of the members of LECO is interviewed and speaking about how that came to be. And so they had seen in the community where bikes had been painted white, where folks had died after a collision or some sort of traffic accident, and they would be around town as kind of memorial sites. And that really sparked, I think, the inspiration for the Lived Experience Circle on Homelessness to have the idea around a cart that was painted white to really honor those that had been living unsheltered and using carts for their belongings around the community.
Folks affixed a number of tags that shared some memorials for different people. And then there was a sort of a symbolism too. So there was the cart that was one kind of physical manifestation of people's grief. There was another one in the documentary for another person who had died. And there was a symbolism to the fact that at one point the white cart disappeared, was presumed maybe stolen, and the other memorial was dismantled by bylaw workers in Kelowna. And I'm wondering if you can, Stephanie, tell me maybe a little bit about the symbolism behind all of that.
For sure. I think when it comes to the white cart being mobile and, you know, having been stolen at one point and kind of tying that to Tristan's memorial, which had been mistakenly dismantled by city workers in an effort to increase space and kind of clean some of the area, I think it really speaks to what we chatted about at the beginning around disenfranchised grief, that individuals who are experiencing homelessness and also grievers, are their loss is not necessarily treated equally, or it's not recognized because some of the memorials are seen as, some of the memorials are maybe seen as not needing to stay where they are, or maybe aren't given the highest honor of importance the way that they could be, or are often given when we think about memorials that are put up around the city or around any city or community for individuals who have died that were not unhoused.
And you're going to be taking the documentary to Nanaimo. It's going to be screening at the Vancouver Island Conference Center, and that's going to be followed by a discussion. What are some of the things you're hoping to talk to the community about in Nanaimo?
Well, I think it's to really see what's going on within their own city. Like, what do they see? What kind of memorials and or things have been experienced? What kind of events have occurred? And if not, what can we do moving forward? Is this something that different organizations can work together to make either a yearly memorial or some type of event to or a memorial to really try to see if we can honor these losses a little bit better within the community as we move forward, because we're just realizing how important that is to allow people to be their best self. And one of the things I want to mention is that in our research, a lot of people, I think it was we had 45% of the 40 participants in Kelowna, actually their transition to homelessness was because of a death that was important to them. And I think it's important that we reflect on that people are coming and transitioning to homelessness because of a loss. So this could be the loss of a partner and they can't afford to be housed anymore, and it kind of pushes them on the streets. It could be that as a child that they lost their caregivers and then they had to go into foster care and then they got pushed out of the system. And so people are carrying these losses through their lives and then they're being pushed and unhoused. And so we're not just talking about the losses that are occurring while people are experiencing homelessness. We're also talking about the losses that are unacknowledged through their entire life. And I think our culture is changing a little bit better now and that we're acknowledging the significance of grief. But this is like the first step to acknowledge all of that stuff that people are carrying, with them. And hopefully we can do better with that, because that's how we can sort of produce change within ourselves, by allowing ourselves to grieve and feel and to feel honored in those. We just become better people in general, like, because that weight can come off of us a little bit more, we can walk a little lighter. And the amount of trauma that people who are unhoused are carrying, we have to attack it from different angles and give space for all of that grief and trauma to be explored in some way. And so this is like just a small step, I feel, in the right direction. So hopefully the discussions that come from that talk can just produce a little bit of change. And that's really what we're hoping for. I'm not, hoping that like the whole world's going to change and we're going to have all this stuff, but I think it's just like we start somewhere and we'll see where it goes. And hopefully the discussion says something, but also the movie or the movie and the film can allow people to see a vision of what we're seeing when doing the research and talking to people with lived experience that sometimes a lot of people don't get a chance to see. Like, a lot of people don't get a chance, like, don't have maybe opportunities, or they haven't yet talked to people with lived experience. And so it provides them a little bit of a intro to maybe reduce some stigma that they may have had, or reduce some myths that people have told them over the years, and to provide just a more a compassionate view of people who are unhoused. And if we can see people as grievers, I think that changes a lot, because a lot of us have grieved ourselves. And I always like to say, if you didn't have the support around you when you're grieving, where would you be? And a lot of times it's because we've had support from others around us that we are here today. And what happens if you strip that away? Where would you be? I know I would be in a different position, because my father died. And if I didn't have the support around me, I don't know where it'd be, honestly. But because of the support, I'm here today and be able to sort of share and be a part of the research.
What do you think people can do with the knowledge that came out of your research and the documentary? Is there any specific change or action you feel like people could take to better understand or accommodate or help make space for grief among the population of folks who are experiencing homelessness?
I think first and foremost, it can allow for us to rethink how we understand public grieving and public mourning, and it allows for conversations to take place, as Joshua said, to be able to hopefully incorporate conversations that reduce stigma and reframe some of our thinking. But on a more practical note, I hope that people take from the film that there are so many opportunities to be able to hold space and support individuals who are grieving. And whether that is creating a memorial piece, creating an art piece, supporting programs further that provide services, engaging in volunteerism through, palliative care or hospice societies or other organizations that over the past couple of years have really seen a decline in the number of volunteers that they may have. There's something that everyone can do. It's just finding what specific piece really speaks to you to be able to engage in the conversation and really identify some practical opportunities to really build more compassionate systems of care.
Joshua, Stephanie, for each of you, is there anything else that you think it's important to bring to this conversation today?
I could start. I think it's just understanding that this is not just about people who are unhoused, it's about all of us. And the ability to increase our grief literacy is so important for ourselves when we grieve, to understand like what's common and how to sit with that, but also how to sit with our friends and our family. Because we don't understand, like, if we don't, that transition may be, they may become unhoused, they may become just a shell of themselves in many ways. And we can all do better in the sense of supporting those around us. It could also be in your workplace. If someone has someone die, it could be someone that they, a partner, but also could be a pet. It could be a miscarriage. It could be really anything when it comes to that, and to honor all those types of losses because they're very important for people. And I think if we just have one or two people that can really provide a space, I can do such a world of a difference in how people are able to walk with their grief and feel that their grief is being seen. And it's just so important. And so that comes down to also this community and allowing those who interact with those who are in the community and serve those in the community to be better able to sit with the grief and increase their capacity to understand, grief and bereavement. I think it's such an important part. And so that's one of the reasons why we did the film, but also we also are just at the final stages of finishing an e-course for people in the community to be able to take it to understand grief and bereavement in a new way, to also understand our research and how to provide a better space for people that are experiencing homelessness, but also people in the workplace. And I think that is also said, like, not talked about enough, and it's also disenfranchised in the sense of the losses of that are accumulating for people who serve. And so those clients are dying, and they're having their own grief because they don't see them as numbers; they see them as people, and people that they had connection with. And I think it's important to understand that there's this grief in the workplace that's also being under acknowledged. And we hope that the film and the stuff that we're doing with the research also points to a better workplace, a more compassionate workplace.
I think Joshua really summed everything up quite beautifully. The only thing that I could add would maybe be for us to consider the fact that over the last several years, the number of individuals that are entering homelessness for the first time or are experiencing chronic homelessness has been rising. So in Nanaimo specifically, there's been an 8-year surge from 2016, where I think there were 174 people enumerated during a point in time count, to 2024, when the number was 621. This isn't unique to Nanaimo. This is something that we're seeing across the province and across the country. And further to that, we're seeing these compounded losses. We're seeing more individuals who are dying while experiencing homelessness. And my hope through this work is that we open more conversations about, how we can address these crises, and how we can, again, kind of create more of those compassionate systems of care that are inclusive and are honoring those that are disenfranchised grievers.
Stephanie, Joshua, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for allowing us to be here.
Stephanie Lang is Director of Operations for the Kelowna Homelessness Research Center. Joshua Black is Bereavement Initiative Manager at the BC Center for Palliative Care. The pair co-produced and directed the documentary No Fixed Address, The White Cart Memorial, which tells the story of a mobile tribute to unhoused members of the community who lost their lives in Kelowna. They'll be bringing the documentary to the Vancouver Island Conference Center in Nanaimo on October 22nd. The free screening will be followed by a discussion with the filmmakers.
People First Radio, People First Media, and People First Stories are community media projects of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and are produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast, podcast, and social media partners.